Okay, Saint Thomas, first part of second part, question number 75. Okay, I go quickly on the titles of the questions we already explained. Okay. First one, question number 71 was on the vice and sin in themselves. Second, 72 on the distinction between the sins. 73 on the comparison between one sin and another sin. And number 74 on the subject of the sin. Now we will deal during, almost 10 questions about the cause of the sin. Cause of the sin. Question 75 of the causes of sin in general. I think you understand the question. That is to say, who is pushing for the sin? Do we have the right, for example, to say the devil himself and only him is responsible for this sin? Or is it the devil and us? God can be responsible for a sin, yes or no, things like that. Saint Thomas, question 75. Now, Saint Thomas will answer from the beginning. He said, nothing upon earth is done without a cause. So we need to have something as efficient cause of the sin. If we have a sin, it's because this sin is coming from something. And he will answer, the sin is coming from a lack of direction in the will. Don't forget what he said before. Before he says the sin is first in the will. What did he explain? So if your will is clear, if you do not have the intention to sin, there is no sin. Remember, I already explained that. The sin is first in the will. By consequence, the cause of the sin, he said, is in a lack of direction in the will. That means two things. First, or ignorance. We sin because we're making a mistake. Or weakness. We sin because we know we have not the right to do it, but we do it anyway. And give you the complete sentence of Saint Thomas. The will lacking the direction of the rule of reason and of the divine law, an intent on some mutable good causes the act of sin directly and the inordinateness of the act indirectly and besides the intention. For, he said, the lack of order in the act results from the lack of direction in the will. So he said, explain like that. Don't be surprised if at the beginning you need a time to be used to the word used by Saint Thomas Aquinas. Saint Thomas says, you have the divine law. Okay? First, he says. After the divine law, will act on our intellect, he called reason. Okay? Reason or intellect. It's the use of our intellect. And this reason will act after on our will. Okay. We use our intellect to understand the things, and using our intellect, we will give an order to our will to do something. By consequence, you can have, according to Saint Thomas Aquinas, the sin will be something disconnected here, if you want, between the reason and the will, or sometime between the divine law and the intellect. You understand? By consequence, you have two ways, he said. The sin comes from a lack of direction in the will. That is to say, the sin will come from the fact the will, our own will, doesn't act the way this will is supposed to act. Or you have two ways you can explain. Or, because of ignorance, we go on a way thinking it's good and finally it's not good because we did not know of a circumstance, for example, changing everything. Or because of weakness. I will explain after. He will explain after the distinction between formal and material sin. Okay. And you have also things you don't know because you do not want to know. But he will explain after. There are many people sinning because they don't want to know. And we'll explain after when it's a sin and when it's not a sin. Because you have some ignorance, the distinction between what he called ignorance, which is what he called vincible, or invincible. Invincible ignorance, not your fault. There is no sin. Vincible ignorance, you can perfectly ask a question and know what's going on. But you don't do because you want to sin. I keep my eyes closed like that, I don't see what's going on. After I crash, people will say, but why did you crash? Because I kept my eyes closed. Why did you keep your eyes closed? Because I wanted to crash. And finally, it's a vicious circle. In fact, you wanted to sin. Okay. Why this sentence is so important? Because you understand by yourself why it is so important finally for us to give to our children the education of the will. To teach them not only two things we have to do, not only to teach our children how to use their brain, but also how to use their will. Most of our children will be staying finally constantly in the state of sin. Why? Or because they don't want to use their brain, or because they don't know how to use their brain, or because they don't want to use their will, or because they don't know how to use their will. Okay? That's what he said. The lack of order in the heart results from the lack of direction in the will. Because the sin is a lack of order, the lack of the due order we are supposed to find in the things, when you don't have this order according to the law of God, it's because a lack of direction of the in the will, he says. Okay. I will explain more. He says the will is the cause of the sin. He said accordingly, a double interior cause of sin may be assigned, one proximate in the part on the part of the reason, and will the other remote on the part of the imagination or sensitive appetite. That means, he said, we have two causes of the sin. First, here, the reason. Second, he said, on the part of the imagination or sensitive appetite. That says the way we receive the informations coming from outside. Okay, according to the fact we don't control enough our imagination or our sensitive appetite, because if you want our senses, this is the meaning, because our senses are not submitted to our will and to our reason, we sin. Okay. He says the cause of sin is some apparent good as motive, yet lacking the due motive, he said. I jump on the things which are a little too complicated to give you only the things you need to know. They will explain how these things can push us to commit a sin. Something external might be a cause of sin in three ways, he says. Either by moving the will itself immediately, or by moving the reason, or by moving the sensitive appetite. That is to say, the devil or the world can push us to sin, or by moving the will here, or by moving the reason here, or by moving the things which are under the will, that is to say, our senses. We can go further like that, senses. That is to say, we are supposed to have our senses controlled by our will controlled by our intellect controlled by the divine law. Okay? Say, we can have a sin, or here, or here, or here. Say, each time you cut the connection, or here, or here, or here, you have a sin. Yes?
Aren't your senses controlled more by your intellect than by your will?
Both. Two things are above. You control your senses first by your intellect. You have temptation, you control your senses first by the will. You see something nice. I want to steal it. First, your reason will tell you with the divine law, thou shalt not steal. First, use your intellect. After the intellect will give an order to your will, I will not take this. You understand?
That's what I'm saying. So should senses be controlled by intellect?
Both intellect and will. Okay. Intellect first, yeah? And after by the will, giving you the order not to steal those things. These two things are working together. First, our brain. Second, our will. So it's very important for us to always use our brain before using our will. The problem, for example, with teenagers. Teenagers, if you want, will have a huge, huge heart. By consequence, senses very, very big, and brain the size of a peanut. Most of the time. Or they don't know how to use their brain. By consequence, what will happen? They will follow their senses without following, submitting the senses to the reason. This is nice, I get it. Anyway, it's very difficult for us after to try to explain to them, be careful, you will do a big mistake. By consequence, if you want, in the education of our children, we have to be very careful first to give a formation of the intellect. Second, a formation of the will. Formation of the intellect to teach them the type of things they have to learn. Okay, it's very important for us to understand that. Our brain is empty at the beginning. You have to feed your brain with something. You can feed your brain with stupid things you don't need to know, or feed your brain with intelligent things. Yes?
Is the definition more or less of education, where it's already in our brain, but it takes it out?
No, the education is to give to our children the correct, to teach them how to use their intellects and how to use their will.
Somebody had mentioned that education really was a taking out from the brain, that the stuff is stored in there and it just brings it to the surface.
Because the education is also to take care of what's stored inside the brain of your children. You have also to teach them how to use their intellects, to make a choice, and to store inside their brain only what they need to know. Because our intellect, if you want, it's what St. Thomas said, tabula rasa, it's empty. You can use your intellects for very good things or stupid things. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's all the problem of the education to use our brain in order to study only the things we need to study. Because you have no time for everything. Same thing for me as a priest. I have absolutely no time. Just a small time to work, and when I have to work, I will work only on the things which are very important for us. Not to waste my time with things which are not my business or which are not important for me. You understand?
We use our brain
first to know, if you want, what type of things we have to learn. Use our intellect. Second, to exercise our will to choose the things which are necessary for us according to circumstances. Okay. Smart is a little complicated, I'm sorry. And by consequence, we need, if you want, to never to follow our senses immediately. Okay? It's a work of the revolution. The revolution will cut the contact here, you know, here, here, and here. We'll cut first the contact with the divine law, saying, think by yourself, don't try to submit your intellect to any divine law. Think by yourself. After, we say, you don't need to have any intellect, you do what you want. And after, they will cut the senses from the will, saying, you do what you feel. Okay? Because that is so dangerous to tell our children, you have to act according to your conscience in order for you to feel good. How many people are like that? I do things because I feel good to do so. We have not to do the things because we feel it's good. We have to do it because the divine law is telling us through intellect and will that we have to do it. Understand? Not we're in trouble. And it's a work of the revolution, if you want to destroy this contact between divine law, reason, will and senses, in order to have men and women who are capable only of one thing, to follow their senses. The young teenagers now will follow the impulses of the senses without any control from the will, second from the reason. They are absolutely incapable to fight against the temptation. Yes, famous sentence. I do it. I want it. I do it. I don't want it. I don't do it. How to fight against that? First, you need the faith, a very strong faith, to re-establish a contact between divine law and reason. Second, a formation of your intellect in order to oblige your intellect only to study the things which are interesting. Third, spirit of penance. Spirit of penance to mortify our senses. For example, to oblige, this is a little detail but so important in education, to oblige our children to eat everything. Which is so important. To oblige our children to eat everything, and to oblige our children to read in order to use their brain, and to control what type of books they are reading. Okay? Yes? Excuse me?
Out of curiosity, if we're only supposed to do things, or we're only supposed to study things that are immediately important to us, or either our jobs or our salvation,
yeah.
then I guess we wouldn't study anything that we don't really need. Then.
No, because you have to use common sense. Well, you are not obliged, for me as a priest, I'm not obliged to be all day long with Saint Thomas Aquinas. Because if I am all day long with Saint Thomas Aquinas, I drive me completely nuts. Well, even if Saint Thomas Aquinas for me is necessary, say, I have to study Saint Thomas Aquinas, I have just a short time to work. I work on Saint Thomas Aquinas because it's very dense. But some time to time, for example, suppose I need one time to rest a little bit, I will read something else, which can be something which is not even spiritual, you know?
What I'm saying, say with space travel, it has nothing to do with our salvation, it has nothing to do with any charity or anything, so...
But it's not a sin to study things like that?
No, but for, say, a country, if they were to put resources towards that, would that be a sin?
No, it's not a sin. It's not a sin as long all these things are connected to will, intelligence, and divine law. As long as it's not against the divine law, there is nothing wrong. Do you understand? We are not obliged to be stupid to say priests must be constantly preoccupied only with God. Of course, we have to be preoccupied constantly with God, but from time to time we have to stop and to rest a little bit and to do something else in order to use your brain for some things which are more easy. Do you understand?
Increase a strong faith in someone who is a weak faith.
But first of all, with the use of the sacraments. First of all, confession and communion. We can see that, for example, when we preach the spiritual exercises here. Okay, it's only, for example, now we are preaching, we have 20 women, two of them are Protestant. One is Anglican, the second one is, in fact, nothing. One of them came here almost without faith, we can say. And we see immediately for the tech and myself and for the young, we see the changes in 2 days. It's already incredible. Okay? At the beginning, she did not understand many, many things. And now, through all the meditations of the first week, meditation on sin, 3 meditations of sin, now the 2 big meditations on hell this morning, now this afternoon, she's starting understanding quite well, I can tell you. Well, we need 1 day more. I'm sure tomorrow evening she asks for the baptism. We say no, of course. Asking her to wait at least 1 or 2 months, perhaps more. But I'm sure she will ask about them tomorrow. Why? Because little by little, if you have spiritual exercises, will teach people how to use their brain. And if you have it works because, first, the grace of God, second, we oblige people to stay in silence. By consequence, they are obliged to use their brain. Which they don't want. They hate to use their brain. Because to use their brain, they will be obliged to understand things they don't want to understand. You know? We oblige them, for example, I tell them, okay, you go and you spend 25 minutes in hell just under the feet of Judas. They don't want. We oblige them. So you go, you keep your big mouth shut during 25 minutes, you go in the chapel, and you think about that during 25 minutes. At the beginning, they have a hard time. But if you can oblige their brain to put themselves in thought during 25 minutes in hell, can tell you after 25 minutes of meditation like that, they will say, wait a minute, it's too hot over there. Okay? And after, by themselves, they say, I have to change. And after little by little, the grace of God is working, you know. After, still question 75. Another article, question, we are first part of second part, second part, question 75, article number 4. Now, he's asking if one sin can be the cause of another sin. The answer is, of course, yes. How? He says, acts cause dispositions and habits inclining to like acts. After he said, one sin is the cause of another by preparing its matter. Okay. For example, he used the example of someone who is very, very, wants to possess everything. Was a weakness to, you know, the concupiscence of the eyes. Okay, the desire to possess everything. This will open the way for stealing, of course. Because you want to possess everything, you don't control that. This will lead you to steal things. He said, after one sin causes another, insofar as the man commits one sin for the sake of another, which is his end. For example, when someone will commit a first sin in order to do something else. Okay? For example, to steal in order with this money to buy something bad, to buy drugs, for example. In fact, his end is to buy drug. But in order to buy drug, he will go through an intermediary, say to buy, to steal, in order to get some drugs. Okay?